eat.
Oh, so good.
Drink. Talk. Rick Redding and Steve Coombs serve up savory conversations about Louisville's world-famous restaurant food and drink scene. The wine is uncorked, the bourbon neat, the apps are on the table. Here comes the main course.
Welcome back to Eat, Drink, Talk, Louisville's top restaurant and bar podcast, where we dive deep into the local drinking and dining scene. I'm your host, Steve Coombs, and my co-host is Rick Redding, right across the table from me.
We did some deep diving last week, Steve. It was a lot of fun going to new restaurants and all the events you went to.
Oh, my gosh. The Bourbon Classic among them. That's my fifth one. It was just fantastic. You get that. There's a lot of people that like bourbon that come into this town. I mean, I met a guy from Virginia who came up and said, I just drove up on a whim.
Wow. It's amazing what people come to Louisville for sometimes. And that doesn't surprise me. I talked to a woman that was in town for that IACP thing that you participated in.
International Association of Culinary Professionals.
Yes, we should tell our non-foodie people what that stands for. But, she had tried an amazing, like, five restaurants in 48 hours. I don't know how she did it. But she was getting a full taste of what Louisville's all about and our culinary scene. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, that's fantastic. For years, I'd worked for a company that was that actually managed IACP, and they tried so hard to bring them here, but it wasn't time.
Yeah.
And now it's time. And
I guess it's time now.
Thankfully, they're here. It's also time to honor our sponsors. Harvest is one of our favorites, where every Thursday is three-course Thursday, and Patrick Roney, the chef there, serves you three amazing courses for a mere $30. Now, also, on March 13, you don't want to miss this, Harvest is hosting its Irish Feast Beer Dinner, where there are four courses of food, five beer pairings for $55. And with a name like Roney, don't you think, Rick, Patrick Roney's going to do something cool for
St.
Paddy's Day?
We got to figure out a way in there. St. Paddy's Day, boy, what a big thing that is for the restaurant industry.
Exactly.
We'll talk about that later.
Well, call and get your reservations at 384-9090 or get them online at harvestlouisville.com.
Okay, well, we're also proud to have Eye Care Institute on as a sponsor. That's the place, you know, we've talked the last few weeks about their dry eye disease seminar, but you should know that anything to do with your eyes, Eye Care Institute has the professionals to take care and give you good advice on getting it fixed and getting it so you're able to see well and see all the menus that you have to look at it.
Exactly right. How could, you know, having great vision not be at the top of your to-do list, right?
That's right. Just one last thing. Eye Care Institute is down here on Story Avenue in Butchertown. You can call them and get an appointment at 502-589-1500.
Awesome. Well, not far from them is our first news item, that the Hilltop Theater is going to be Remedy Bar.
Man, I'm glad to see something else coming in over there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I wonder what it's right next door to Silver Dollar, for those who don't know that. Brett Davis, one of the partners in Fall City Hospitality Group, which owns Doc Crow's, unfortunately, Doc's Cantina. He's going to be the guy behind it. And this is, I don't know who his other partners are, but this is not a Falls City Hospitality Group thing. He's not talked to the press about it. We've chatted briefly, oh gosh, 6-8 weeks ago at least, about it. And he just said, I'm not ready to tell anybody anything until we get the concept really settled. And
wow. Well, it's pretty cool. Where do you think they came up with that name?
Who knows? Remedy Bar. I don't know. After you know, a long busy week like we've had, might find a remedy in a bar.
There you go. It's a good place to go.
But yeah, that's pretty cool. So Rick, speaking of all these fun things that he's gotten to do this week, you went to the Red Barn Kitchen brunch. Tell me about that.
Well, it was cool, unusual. I thought it was going to be a brunch. I didn't know it would include breakfast food, but it did. And so that was pretty cool. I had a thing they called What Came First. It's chicken and eggs, you know. So it was pretty
what a
pretty
great
cool
name.
Idea. Yeah,
what a great name.
It's a great name for it. And I think Paula had the chicken and waffles. You know, it was a great setup, reasonable price, reasonably priced, and just outstanding food. Reed.
So what were the hours? Maybe 11 to 3 at the
11 to 3 Saturday and Sunday. I went Saturday. It was the first day that they had the brunch. So it's a big change in you know, Olay Restaurant Group is making a lot of changes.
Right.
And this is an addition that they're very excited about.
Well, speaking of Ole Restaurant Group changes, you went to Mercato out in Norton Commons, Mercato Italiano. What's the change up there?
Another. Well, we're going to hear later from the executive chef out there, Zach Fry. I keep saying Jack Fry because I'm on the idea of Gravy Cup, but it's Zach Wolf, who is the young chef out there, very talented.
You got to get more creative in your name choices, people you're interviewing.
That's right.
Oh, Zach and a Zach.
So, they've got some change. You know, it's amazing. I guess the thing I took from the story and talking to Rick Moore, the head of operations there, mm-hmm. is that they haven't had lunch at Mercato for over a year, and part of that time, Fernando spent teaching some of the things that he knows to Zach, and so Zach, he's 27 years old, and now he's ready to go. They're opening for lunch this week. And so you can go out there for lunch for the first time in a while, and it's a great menu. It's a really great menu.
27. That was the age that I quit cooking. This makes him sound like such a pup. Half a life ago.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. That is that's a young age to have such a great job in a responsible position. But he'll say in the interview, as you'll hear, it was his like goal for years to be a part of that group.
Oh, man, that's cool. That's cool. Well, speaking of something that's been around for years, Knock Bar turns 10 this Friday. Anybody, you've been to Knock Bar in Germantown?
I've been by it, but I hate to admit I haven't been in there yet.
It's a cool neighborhood bar.
Maybe I'll go to the 10-year party.
A lot of punk rock going to be played that night, apparently. But I don't know if that's your thing.
That might not be me.
But it's special hours, so go check their Facebook page. In fact, the Facebook page is Knock Bar Charles, because it's on Charles Street. You want to check it out and just celebrate with this cool neighborhood bar. They've got a bunch of live music that night, but I do believe they don't open until 10, which is unusual. It opens quite a bit earlier. So congratulations to those folks.
Anytime you make it 10 years in this industry, it's worth celebrating.
So let's see if we can pronounce this right. The Tsubaki Sushi Bar has opened in Middletown. And why that's interesting is it's run by the same people who own Jasmine, the Chinese restaurant out there in Landis Lakes. And it's right next door to Jasmine. Jasmine's fantastic. So I can't wait to try that out. In fact, got a good buddy who lives out in Lake Forest right across the street, and we're trying to get some idea of how to get there together.
Yeah, when are you going to go? Yeah, that's the question. So
you're right. 13825 English Villa Drive for those who want to check it out. But just look up Jasmine and go next door. You know exactly what you're doing then.
Yeah, it's good. Good to see a nice place. Middletown's getting a lot of new restaurants. It's about time.
There's a lot of money out there.
Yeah, there's one of those growing areas.
Yeah, so one of the growing areas, too, that I got to experience this week was the Bourbon Classic. I don't know what the final attendance was, but my guess is it was larger than the five previous years. It was held down at the Kentucky Center for the Performing Arts. There was a huge cocktail and culinary competition Friday night, and every year the chefs in this town and the mixologists just raised the bar. And the things that won, it was fun. You know, it was interesting. The duo that won, nearly swept all four categories, was Alexander Dulaney and Isaac Fox from La Chasse.
Ah.
And I'm trying to think.
You talked about them plenty on the
show.
Oh
my gosh,
they must be great.
It's one of my favorite restaurants in town. So I guess that wasn't surprising. But there are cool little bites like. I'm going to say that for the favorites portion, because that's where my favorites came from. But you know, I got to do a large country ham, chocolate, and whiskey pairing for, I think it was 96 people, and there were 40 people that we had to turn away that were waiting at the door to get in. So kind of shows what people are understanding about the Kentucky experience. It's not just whiskey, even though that's what they came for, but our craft country ham and our fantastic chocolate bite done by our guest in the show at Art Eatables.
Kelly
Ramsey. Blown away, too. Kelly's awesome.
That's where we're headed in the show. I think it's time to talk about that, right?
Yes, we are. It's going to be our first guest here in a moment. We'll get to. But before we hop to that, we want to make the announcement that Julie Dufresne, the manager at 8UP, has left the building. She is going to pursue her wine interest in sales at Vintner Select, which is a high-end wine distributor in the area. It's actually Cincinnati-based. And Julie is a Level 2 sommelier who's working on Level 3, which is a big, big deal. Mm. And just one of those people that begins to talk about it. And, you know, I get all starry-eyed because I know nothing significant about wine. But this is a cool opportunity for her to really pursue that. She was the sommelier for a long, long time at, the Oak Room and the general manager there. So she's finally in her niche 100%.
Well, I'm sure they'll miss her at 8 Up, but I tell you, that is on my list of the coolest bars in town. If you haven't been up there, that's one you got
to
put on your
exactly.
list.
Exactly. Say hello to Chef Jacob Coronado. Great guy. So speaking of nice people, we're going to get to our first guest, and that is Kelly Ramsey. She is the chocolatier and co-owner of Art Eatables, owns it with her husband, Forrest Ramsey.
Steve, where are these samples that you were supposed to bring into the studio? I'm looking for those.
Gosh. I should have thought of that. She, her interesting niche is that she will say, as she says in the interview, she's really into bourbon, and chocolate is her way of getting people into bourbon.
There you go.
So it's like she's a bourbon fan first, and she has this niche of being the custom provider of chocolate truffles to 18 different Kentucky distilleries. There only is like 21 in the whole state, and she's got the market cornered on that. But her shop on 4th Street is a great place to visit, and you want to go down there and check it out and just see how intricately bourbon is woven into their products and let them tell the story. It's like no other, chocolate shop in town.
I did not know that. I look forward to hearing that. And, Steve, I guess we'll be back with our newly sponsored favorite segment. You'll want to stay tuned for that.
Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Rom.
Today I'm with Matt Jones,
Kevin Harned,
Pat Forty.
But I'm with Anoush Sheriott,
Crispin Wall,
United States Congressman John Yarmuth,
Sarah Brofancher, and Susie Eastman.
I have Kristen Boone,
one of St. Matthew's most favorite sons, Danny Flanagan.
It's Pat Day.
The list goes on and on. The most interesting people in the Ville are on the Rusty Satellite Show with Rick Redding. New episodes Thursdays on Louisville.am.
I'm here with Kelly Ramsey, owner of Art Eatables, a bourbon-centered chocolate maker in downtown Louisville. Welcome to the show, Kelly.
Thanks, Steve, for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm so glad to finally get down here, and so embarrassed to admit that I haven't been down here in its five-year life.
That is okay. At least you discovered us now, right?
That's right. We got to discover your business this weekend by proxy of the Bourbon Classic, where you and I did an incredible pairing of chocolate, country ham, and Michter's whiskeys. How fun was that?
That was a blast. I never really thought ham and chocolate would go together, but I can't say that now. I thought it was fantastic.
Especially when you knit it together with booze.
Yes.
Right?
Booze is the common factor. <That's> makes right. everything better, right?
It's the covalent bond of everything. Exactly. Of all foods.
Exactly.
Just talk about that for a second. Is that the largest tasting you've ever done? We had 96 people, by the way.
Well, last year I did a bourbon and chocolate pairing class on my own, and I had 98. So that's the biggest one I've done. So that's 2 years in a row now.
Man.
Yeah, so I get a little nervous when the crowd's larger than 30. I'm better on a smaller scale, but I think it was good, though. It was fun.
That was a good crowd, too. They just seemed to behave and to want to really listen to what we were saying, which,
right.
After they've probably been to another class where they had some booze, they're not always listening very closely, but they were well-behaved.
They were well-behaved. And I think now to the point people were at the point where, you can drink bourbon and you enjoy it and you have the flights, but people really want to learn more. There's more to it. And I think people were in it for the education. And I think that's why our class was so full, because it's something different. And they wanted to learn, so of course they were listening. I think that had something to do with it.
And let's talk about your product specifically. I just always assumed that this was a chocolatier, or that you're a chocolatier, and this is a chocolate shop. Specifically, right. Bourbon is part of the lineup, and you specifically make the bulk of your chocolates for distilleries.
Right, and that is pretty much how it is. I always tell people that I love bourbon and chocolate just the way I get it to people. So although chocolatier is in my title, I like to say bourbon certified chocolatier first, because it really is about bourbon for me.
Chocolate is the gateway drug to bourbon?
It totally is. So, because you'll meet a lot of people that don't drink bourbon, and I always say they don't drink it yet, but again, it's the whole goal to get everyone to enjoy it. But when you introduce someone to a bourbon through a chocolate, and they get past that mental block of, oh, it's going to burn, or it's just going to be hot, or I can't tell the difference. When you give it to them in a chocolate and they can pick out notes, then when they're drinking it, they know to look for that, and they sort of bypass everything else or their hesitation to drink it. So it really is a gateway to bourbon.
Now, are you a trained chef or a trained chocolatier? How did you come about this career?
Well, I never went to culinary school. It was just something that I always loved to do. My grandmother was a candy maker in Australia when she was younger.
Well with their sweets there.
They do.
Some of the other food suffers, but their sweets are fantastic.
Yeah.
And they're not overly sweet and sugary like here in America.
But their patisserie work is especially good.
Yes, yes. So I think it's just sort of always just been in my genes. My uncle owned bars and stuff, so even though I grew up Pentecostal, my uncle, you know, and the family didn't, so bourbon and chocolate and candies have always been in my wheelhouse, and I just never really knew or really did anything with it until, you know, I just started making stuff for my son's birthday parties, like little non-alcoholic chocolate favors. And it just sort of blossomed from that. And I realized I have this passion for bourbon and for chocolate and getting it to people. So that's what I do now.
And so you became an entrepreneur years ago and started this?
Yeah.
How well has the shop done?
We've done very, very well. In our short 5 years, we make more branded truffles or bourbon candies for any candy company that's been around for almost 100 years. We have 18 clients. Most of
distillery
them
clients,
distillery
right?
Distillery clients that are here, you know, pushing bourbon truffles, because bourbon truffles really are the new Kentucky tradition. Bourbon balls, and there's nothing against bourbon balls. Everyone makes them, but for what we're doing, trying to give consumers a new experience, mm-hmm. just like the bourbon companies are now, mm-hmm. they had the same demographic for so long. I feel that bourbon balls are sort of in that same category, that same, it's what you think of, bourbon, you know, and then you think of bourbon balls. Well, now the bourbon distilleries are trying to give people new experiences, and they're getting that in bourbon truffles. Although we make 18 different bourbon truffles for the different companies,
right?
None of them taste the same. And that's because of the pairing and the spirits are different.
So define the difference between a bourbon ball and a bourbon truffle for listeners.
Okay, so a bourbon ball is traditionally powdered sugar, butter, pecans usually. And then sometimes the old-fashioned ones, they'll use like vanilla wafers. But whereas a truffle is a lot different, it's a chocolate ganache center, so it's a European-style chocolate. Mm-hmm. So it's chocolate all the way through, and then, of course, we use, like, heavy fats, and then we infuse the spirit in it. And so that's what the difference is, but when you eat, when you eat one, one's sugary with bourbon that's really hot, and then you have the chocolate that's a little bit more dense or a little bit more creamier.
Silken is what I like to think.
Yeah, it's a great one.
I love to let it lie in my mouth, because it'll melt as opposed to...
It will melt.
The powdered sugar doesn't do the same.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And the powdered sugar, I always think that people will say when they have a bourbon ball that it's, oh, they get like this big wave of bourbon. Well, sugar reacts to bourbon and makes it hot, whereas chocolate mellows it out. So that's another thing. And then, too, with the truffle, we always tell people to take two bites, because the first bite, it sort of opened up your palate, just like when you take a small sip of bourbon.
Uh-huh.
You're opening up your palate, so the next drink, you're really tasting the complexity of the flavors of that bourbon, and it's the same way in the truffles.
How did you get in contact with these distillers to be able to land them as clients, or did they find you? How did that go?
Well, how I started the journey was I have a friend that's a product developer for Jim Beam, mm-hmm. and over soccer games with our sons, you know, we just talked about what she was doing, and this was 7-8 years ago, so this is before bourbon was what it is now. And you know, they're always when you're a developer, you're always trying to think of new ideas, how to mm-hmm. really reach new audiences. And I was telling her I was doing chocolates on the side, just something for fun, because I was actually in mortgage for almost 10 years, and that's what I did. That was my job. I was in finance.
Did you like it?
This is why I do what I do now. No. After 10 years of I'm just going to leave it at that and just stay very, very neutral. But so anyway, just the talking back and forth, and, you know, I was like, well, maybe I could do something through chocolate, but of course not a bourbon ball. And so I just played around with it. So with Beam being such a large company at that time, they were still sort of not family owned, they were Beam Global, but they hadn't gone to shareholders yet.
Right.
And right during that time, they went public. And because of that, there was a lot of red tape, so it sort of put our process of the truffles on hold.
Uh-huh.
So she gave me her blessing to introduce this to other companies, because there was something unique about it, and we needed to get it out there. So with her blessing, I did that. So we went to Kentucky Crafted in 2012, and we met Maker's Mark.
Nice.
Yeah, and when they tasted the truffle, and they said, oh my gosh, that tastes like Maker's Mark, that was it. And then we became the first official, I mean, it sounds like it shouldn't have happened so quickly, but it did. It was so new, it was so uh-huh. different. And then we became the first sponsor of the Kentucky Bourbon Trail that wasn't a distillery. Just to show people we were serious about
no kidding.
Bourbon. Yes.
So when people come to this shop, can they say, I want a Michter's
yeah.
truffle.
Yeah,
they don't have to go to the well. It can't go to the distillery for Michter's,
right yet. But
you, but that is the line. Those are the lines that you carry within your shop.
Right. We use over. I have pairings for over 125 different bourbons and whiskeys. And
again, oh my gosh!
Yeah, and again, we keep that very. When you come into the store, it's very Kentucky bourbon centric. We don't. Although we make stuff for other distilleries outside the state. Uh-huh. When you come into our store, it's a Kentucky bourbon experience. That is what we are pushing. We make the best bourbon. Everyone makes bourbon, and it can be made anywhere in the United States.
Right.
But the Kentucky bourbon, I do feel, is superior from than everyone else. And maybe because I'm a little biased because I grew up and born and raised here in Kentucky, and we do great stuff. And that's my whole passion, is to get bourbon to folks. So when you come into our store, you'll learn more about bourbon than you ever probably wanted to know.
Well, that's cool, though. I mean, that's the experience people are looking for.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you could get that here. Yeah. Last question. In a past life when I was a chef, I found whiskey pretty difficult to work with sometimes, especially within sweets. What's the trick to making it work in chocolate?
The trick to making it work in chocolate is knowing the profiles of your chocolate. Chocolate is just as complex as bourbon. There are so many different notes, you know, depending on the actual process of how the cocoa was fermented is another process that changes the flavor. So it's knowing your basis. Then knowing your bourbon, knowing your whiskeys. You really can't just throw whiskey into a recipe or bourbon to a recipe and it's going to work. That's not how it works. So each recipe is a unique pairing. So I think the what makes it work is knowing your products. You have to know what works. And it is a little finicky because you might have a bourbon that's a nice, spicy, higher rye.
Uh-huh.
And you put it in a milk chocolate, you think it's going to be great.
It dominates it. Yep.
Or you can put it in a dark chocolate, and it takes all your spice away. So it's finding the right balance. So, yeah, it doesn't always work, and it is finicky. I always say I'm like the Sesame Street character. No, the Muppets character, the Swedish Chef.
Oh,
I'm just
yeah.
sitting around singing and dancing, you know, whatever, making noise, and just no one understands me, and I'm making a mess because it's sort of like a mad scientist in there sometimes. It's very fun.
Folks, come down to South 4th Street and meet the mad scientist and her wonderful husband, Forrest.
Yes.
And thanks so much. And I can't wait till we can do some more of these pairings together because it clearly was a hit.
Yes, it was a good time. So thank you.
Thanks, Kelly.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With,
yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am. in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
All right, and this we are back with Eat Drink Talk, the top restaurant bar podcast, where Steve Coombs and I dive deep into the local dining and drinking scene. This is our favorite part of the show. A lot of people have told us it's their favorite part of the show, and thus we have gone out and found a great new sponsor for our favorite segment. Right, Steve?
Absolutely. It's Copper and Kings Distillery in Butchertown, creators of pot-distilled American brandies right in the heart of bourbon country. Takes guts, does it not, to do that?
I'd say right? so.
In bourbon country?
But it is a spectacular building over there. I'm so glad we got them on as sponsors.
It is. It is. You got to go down and visit the distillery at 1121 East Washington Street in Butchertown. Take the tour, shop for gifts, get the amazing brandy. I like the American Craft, and I love the Butchertown brandy, and I love the Immature brandy, the great brandy at that. You'll meet their friendly staff, and definitely check copperandkings.com for its busy events lineup as well. They're heavily involved in the community, but you can find their product darn near everywhere, I think, here in Louisville. Big market for them.
Yeah, they're it's an amazing success story for the city, and so we're glad to have them on so we can talk about things we liked and
absolutely.
And have them as sponsors. What did you have to eat this week with all your travels there, Steve?
So at the Bourbon Classic, they had plenty to eat, plenty to drink, and there's little bits of each, which is great. Then you can kind of browse, or graze rather than browse. Ryan Rogers, who is the owner of Feast Barbecue and Royals Hot Chicken, had my favorite thing was a spicy steak tartare with chopped peanuts. He's always got some strange twist on things that you think, oh, why didn't I think of that before? It was absolutely delicious. And Mike Vita, the executive chef down at Proof on Main had pimento cheese macaroons, and the macaroons are green because they were seasoned with green onion. It was just way cool. A lot of fun. And luckily, you know, they were small bites because I might have
Yeah, that sounds like something you could just sit there and start stuffing them in one right after the other, those macaroons.
And you got all healthful with the salad at Mercado.
Well, there was a lot to choose from. I had some great dishes at Mercado, but I was really impressed with the salad. I'm pronouncing this right, I think. Stracciatella. Yeah. Insalata. Mm-hmm. It's on their appetizers menu. It's a seasoned tomato. And Zach Wolf was telling me about this. He had it's stuffed with this. That's a type of cheese, I think, mm-hmm. Stracciatella. Mm-hmm. And it's stuffed inside the tomato, and then they put some nice raspberries around it and all that. If you go there, get an entree, but if you're going to get a salad, get the stracciatella insalata.
So it's just like a buffer course, an appetizer? It's not like an entree salad or anything?
Right. Cool. It's like one big tomato and two or three little ones and a couple of raspberries and... Yeah, just enough.
Sounds lots of good acid on the plate, sounds like. So drinks, you know, my favorite, and it just happens to be timely. Not that we're sucking up to our wonderful new sponsor, Copper and Kings, but I did a country ham and brandy pairing with them Thursday night, I believe it was, at Down One Bourbon Bar, and they did brandy old fashions. Now, if you've never tried it with brandy and you're an old fashioned fan, you got to do it because it just lifts so many more fruit notes out of it because brandy is a fruit spirit. But it just gives it a new breadth and dimension. And I think maybe even brandy is kind of a little bit of a gateway spirit to bourbon, which is a bit heavier.
Yeah.
And if people say, well, I don't know that I want to do it with bourbon, definitely try it with brandy. And their recipe, which is online, you can do it at home. It's really easy.
Wow. Sounds good. I want to try that. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you that anytime you can get anything to drink for a dollar... you know, you got to go for it. Now, Steve, you probably, you know, this really ticks me off. I'm like at a regular restaurant, and I get a meal, and then I want a soft drink with it, and the bill comes, and it's like $2.85 for the drink.
Yeah, and the cost was 28.5 cents.
And so when you get some for a dollar at the Red Barn Kitchen brunch, they have $4 Bloody Marys, but they have $1 mimosas, and that's just, you just feel like you're getting some sort of great deal, and it tastes great. You know, there's no magic to making them, but it goes great with the brunch, and so that was my thrill of the week in terms of drink.
Awesome. Well, we need to greet our sponsors one more time with Harvest. Mark your calendars for March 30th when Harvest does its 12-person chef's table again. It's an exclusive thing. There's only 12 people, like we were saying. So you want to jump in and get your reservation now. You can choose to have the special menu, which is tied to a particular farm. You can have it with or without wine pairings, but I like the with. Just saying.
Certainly.
And on March 13th.
You got to have water?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. You know, just Uber and Lyft are great tools. But they're also hosting their Irish Feast Beer Dinner, 4 courses, 5 beer pairings for $55 on March 13.
All right, and don't forget the Eye Care Institute. If you call them at 502-589-1500, tell them you heard about it on Eat Drink Talk. We'd really appreciate it. It's a great place to get anything done in terms of your vision and sight, and the great people down there.
Awesome.
All right, well let's talk about Zach Wolf. Can you imagine? You know, we've already talked, 27 years old, and you're the head chef at a restaurant. A very serious restaurant. You know, Zach told me that he'd been following Olay Restaurant Group for many years before he got a job with them, and that was a career goal to get there. And once he got there, he's got this great position over there. He's just a great young man. He's very serious about his craft. So that's what we got into. I went out there during the day. It was one of the last days at lunchtime that there won't be anybody out there because they're starting lunch this week. But just sat down with Zach and had a nice conversation.
And now you're going to the gym to work off all that stuff that you had at Olay Restaurant Group this past week.
Very next step.
My turn comes Wednesday night when Artisano does a menu changeover. So I'm looking forward to that and certainly looking forward to hear what Zach has to say about Mercado. So visit us again next week after listening to Zach.
Dessert? Yes, please.
All right. Well, it is a great day here at the Mercado Italiano restaurant. I am with Zach Wolf here in Norton Common. Zach, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate being here.
Well, it's amazing. I've
gotten to treat myself to a sampling of the spring menu this week, and that's it, am I correct? It's all your creation, kind
of? Some of it is. Some of it's, you know, working with Fernando as well. I mean, okay. he's a wealth of knowledge, and you know, having him come in and show me a few things, and we kind of sat down and went over the menu together and changed a little bit here and there, just get the best quality product we can.
Well, I know that you're opening next week, or when this airs this week, opening for lunch, which is a new thing. Tell me what the logic is behind, you know, you were closed for a long time for lunch, and now you're opening up again.
Well, we closed down back in September because of course, being winter. There wasn't a whole lot of foot traffic back in Norton Commons then. So now we're opening back up for the spring season, try to get more people in the door. Plus, Norton Commons is such a blossoming community. You have all these little shops and boutiques and restaurants down here. So it's really nice to see people out on the streets again. And that's where we're trying to attract that business in, as people come down here and do shopping.
Okay. Now, when I was talking with Rick Moyer of the Olay Group the other day, he said, talk to me a little bit about how you had been spending a lot of this time during the daytime when you're closed, getting some great training from Fernando.
Yeah. He would come in and we would go through the menu, and he would really show me sauce preparation and how to make fresh pastas, all that stuff that I had a general knowledge of, but I didn't have a very in-depth knowledge of.
Okay.
And having him come in and really show me that stuff allowed me to expand my knowledge base on really good, hearty Italian food.
Right. Well, it's kind of amazing. Here you are. Let's talk about your background a little bit. 27 years old, and I don't know that there are many chefs as young as you are that have the title executive chef in a nice restaurant like this. Tell me a little bit about where you came from.
Well, I grew up in Southern Indiana, in Georgetown, Indiana, and then I went to culinary school at Sullivan University. From there, I kind of worked at a few little restaurants in Southern Indiana, covered Bridge Golf Course for almost 5 years with Fuzzy Zeller, and then I opened Cafe 27 in New Albany. And then I worked over here in Louisville under Harold Baker, Gary's on Spring, for 2 years. Okay. I did my internship at the Brown Hotel. So kind of just moved around, and then that's where Fernando found me at Gary's and picked me up.
When did you first get the idea that you thought you would have a career like this?
Actually, it was me and my girlfriend went to Artisano one night. It was a Valentine's dinner, and we loved the food. It was fantastic. And she told me then, she goes, I want you to work for Fernando.
Okay.
And that's where I really put my nose to the grindstone and try to do as much as I could.
Well, let's go back even further. When in your youth did you realize you were interested in a career in food?
Cooking in the kitchen with my mom.
Okay.
We didn't spend a whole lot of time cooking at home. She was always working. She has a corporate job. She's always working. Dad was always on the go. But every time that we had the chance to cook at home, I was always in the kitchen trying to help. And that, to me, just, it's personal. It's on a personal level.
Sure.
You have that love and passion in food. And that's what really drove me to it. Plus, I like to eat. So.
Well, that is a big attraction to the restaurant industry. But you know, you went to school at Sullivan. You must have, I'm sure you got a lot of classmates or contemporaries that are in the industry here in Louisville. Can you put yourself, compare yourself to some of those guys? I mean, where are your classmates sort of working?
Most of the classmates that I went to school with have moved away.
Okay.
They're not, you know, they came to Sullivan from out of the state, and then they moved back home or wherever.
Okay.
But like Ming Poo from Restaurant 502 right up the street, he's doing fantastic things there, and I've worked with him a few times. And,
okay.
I have some buddies over in Indiana. I work at Brooklyn and the Butcher with Ian Hall and over at the Exchange.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm sure it's cool to be out here in Norton Commons. You've got a bunch of new restaurants. How would you describe the clientele out here?
It's really family oriented. This is such a really tight knit community. It's really nice to see the families come in here, and that's something that we try to change with the spring menu. And we try to attract that family style in.
Okay, so you got things for kids. You can bring your kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of menu items do the kids go for?
Well, we do traditional, you know, spaghetti and meatballs. We do some butter noodles for them. We do a small burger because, you know, some kids like burgers and stuff like that. And then plus we do a mac and cheese that you really can't pass up. Even adults love it because it's made with mozzarella and cheddar.
Yeah. Well, I can't imagine. I have three boys. One of them didn't like mac and cheese. I couldn't understand what was wrong with him the whole time. But most kids like that stuff. So,
oh, yeah.
Tell me what's special about this the spring menu. You know, I know you're introducing some new items. What are you most proud of?
The lasagnas, for sure.
Okay, I had a bite of both the other night, so I can vouch for how good it is. Yeah.
Yeah, the lasagnas were something special to me because that's what I grew up making lasagna with my mom. And everybody does it the old school way, where you put it all in the big pan, and then you bake it in the oven, and then it comes out, and you slice it into squares. But what I do is I take lasagna and make it fresh to order. So I use fresh pasta sheets, fresh bolognese, and then I make a bechamel with stracciatella cheese, similar to mozzarella. And I build it to order, so it's nice and fresh. You get the top layer, it's really nice and crisp, almost like the ends of the lasagna pan.
Uh-huh.
But you don't get the overcooked pasta noodles, and it just melts in your mouth.
Sure.
It's fantastic.
Well, I wanted to tell you, one thing I really like, I would recommend to people, is the stracciatella.
Yeah, stracciatella. Yeah.
Stracciatella, the salad. It's fresh tomatoes that were stuffed. Tell me about that stuffing.
Yeah, that's the stracciatella cheese. It's the inside of burrata, so it's mozzarella, curd, and soaked in cream. We take Campari tomatoes, and we slice the bottoms off, and we hollow them out, and we stuff them with cheese. Then we top it with a little bit of fig vincotto, which is a Chianti and balsamic reduction, with a little bit of sea salt.
Okay.
It's really good.
Yeah, it really is. Now, you said you were looking for that you're your girlfriend. You made it a mission of yours to work for this restaurant group. Before that, you worked at an individual restaurant. What kind of advantages are there in being part of this group of six, eight other restaurants?
Oh, the knowledge, for sure. I mean, you have some of the best chefs in Louisville that work under Fernando. And Fernando himself, I mean, he's incredible. You've got Reed Johnson at Red Barn Kitchen doing amazing barbecue. You know, Artisano is a fantastic tapas restaurant. They've changed their menu now to more Latin American in general, just like Spanish and Peruvian, Venezuelan food. And then, you know, of course, Taco Luchador, the fantastic little taco joints.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, it's always great. They're always growing. I mean, do you go to those? I mean, when you go out to eat, do you go to the other restaurants?
Oh, of course, yeah. And on Sundays, that's mine and my girlfriend's day. We usually spend the day out trying out new restaurants. But somehow, about two or three times a month, we always end up at one of the other Ole restaurants.
Well, that certainly makes sense. You know, one of the changes that you've probably seen in your lifetime is the importance of social media on your industry and your business and connecting with other chefs and seeing what other people are doing. Are you an active social media guy?
I am. That's actually how I got the job with Fernando. He found me through social media.
Really? How'd that happen?
He saw my Facebook profile and saw the pictures that I was posting and messaged me out of the blue one day and asked for an interview. Social media connects chefs from all over the world. So instead of being in this tight-knit bubble here in Louisville, you could have talked to chefs from all over the country, all over the world, see what they're doing, their ideas, and you kind of just bounce off each other. And that's what food's all about. It's about sharing recipes and getting ideas from others and expanding on that.
Okay, well, out here at Mercado, for a while, it's just been... You've just been open for dinner. How is being open for lunch going to change your life and your schedule?
It's going to make it a little bit hectic at first, but eventually it'll even itself out. The lunch menu is not really different from the dinner menu, just a few little additions and a few takeaways, of course, but it shouldn't change too much.
Okay, not more hours, but...
yeah.
You're here anyway. You're here we're recording this on Friday afternoon. It's all quiet here at the restaurant.
I say, yeah, even without lunch, I still get here at about 9 in the morning.
Wow.
I'm here all the way till 11 o'clock at night.
Because you do your prep work.
Yeah.
I mean, you start that early.
Yeah, we do everything in-house. All of our pastas are made fresh in-house, all of our sauces, the whole nine yards.
Wow. So you've learned a lot In the time you've been here?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's going on 8 months now since I've started with Ole, and it's like opening an encyclopedia.
Well, it sounds like you're having a good time, a lot of fun. At your age, it looks like you really got it all in front of you.
Yeah, that's the passion's a driving force behind me. I found that early on, that this is the business that I wanted to do, and I stuck to it, and I just kept moving forward. Even through obstacles and hurdles, I kept pushing forward.
Very good. Well, thank you for being on Eat, Drink, Talk. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, fantastic, Rick. Thank you very much.
If you just can't get enough, catch up on the news of the city's restaurant scene every single day by visiting www.eatdrinktalk.net. Steve and Rick share all the latest local scoop from Louisville's restaurants and bars. You can also find old episodes of the show and connect with the guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Eat well, my friends. Another episode next week.